Winston City Council, February 16th, 7 o'clock p.m. This is 2021.
I guess not. You're going to address it when you get to the boards and commissions liaison.
Okay. And who do we have on the spider today?
On the telephone? I don't know. A couple callers. You want to identify?
Alan Hobson's here.
Hi, Alan.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good.
Compared to what?
Yeah, someone else.
And then you have Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
Well, hi, Tanya.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Well, welcome. Thank you. First thing we're talking about tonight are the appointment to the council liaisons.
I'd like to talk before you get into that, please.
Okay.
It's the appointment of council liaisons rather than I would think rather than having them as a chairperson, that just have them acting as, I talked with Mark, and Mark, you could probably better explain it, because we talked about it on the phone, about having a liaison duties versus a chairperson.
One of the issues that's come up, and was apparent in the last couple of years, is that council members acting as liaisons to boards and committees doesn't always work out the best. And in fact, in my career, typically a council liaison, a council member sits in on the board or committee and takes back basically what was said during the meeting and explains to the council what the committee is working on at the last meeting. The committees, the boards and commissions are typically run by their membership. So they would appoint, typically annually, they would appoint a chairperson or reappoint the current chairperson to chair the committee meeting. And oftentimes these positions are not voting members. So they run the meetings, they put the agendas together with a staff member, and then the remaining membership votes on it, and the council liaison is also a non-voting member. They're just there.
So if that is indeed the case, then for instance, I chair the traffic safety committee meeting. Does that go by the wayside?
So yeah. So what would happen is,
well, the same way with the
park board.
The park board.
So what would happen in that case is you would attend all the, if you were the liaison position, you would attend all the meetings. To observe the meeting and bring that information back to the council. The members of the committee, which would be the citizen members of the committee, would appoint their own chairperson from the citizen members to chair the meeting and to work with whoever the staff member is to bring back an agenda.
And the chairperson then would be a non-voting position, correct?
Correct.
Except for if it was a tie, isn't it?
Yes, unless it's to break a tie.
So therefore, Chief, you might as well put that into the agenda. Yes.
I guess it's voted on.
If it's okay with everybody, yeah. We still have to vote on it.
So in order for that to take place, we need to amend our ordinance, and I can make the proper amendments and bring it back to you at your next meeting. You can pass it at your next meeting. Because the nature of what it is doesn't require the 30-day. You just pass it as an emergency ordinance and have it become effective as soon as possible. And then you go forward from there. But we actually have to amend the ordinance before we can act on it.
Okay, so any further discussion before we ask Mr. Bauer to proceed with that? Or any heartburn from that from anybody?
I think it makes actually sense.
I agree.
Yeah.
Could I, it is Alan, can I chime in?
Please.
Sure.
When I was a liaison to the chamber, I did not vote, and I did take part in discussions, but I did not vote. But I just brought the minutes back to the council after they had their meeting. So that was basically the way we handled that on the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay. Good.
Good.
Thank you, Alan. Okay, with that being said, Mr. Bauer, would you please proceed with that?
I will.
Thank you. So, that being said, the next item on the agenda would be the appointment of council liaisons. My thought processes have been that I'd like to see Teresa do the park board. Lenny's already doing economic development. We're going to leave Dave with traffic safety. And then I think, after a conversation with Councillor Cunningham, we don't have a liaison to the library board.
We do not.
And I'd like Councillor White to consider doing that, please. Now, this isn't really a railroad, but if you hear the train coming, you got a job.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Teresa. You got it. Okay.
It's perfectly fine.
Your Honor, there's another issue having to do with the Economic Development Committee.
Yes, sir.
The Economic Development Committee is actually a committee that was started by the Chamber. And we had council members, as long as we didn't have a quorum, attend that meeting, so we could have up to two members attend that meeting and participate if they wanted to. But I do believe it would be a good idea to actually create a standing committee of council, which is the same thing as the park board traffic and traffic safety are. They're both standing bodies of the council, or standing committees of the council, which means that you appoint just like you do the membership, just like you do for the other committees, but it becomes an official committee instead of an unofficial economic body just sitting around and talking.
So what's the process for that then? Just a motion and a vote?
No, it also requires inserting that into the ordinance, making them a standing committee of council, so it's another ordinance action.
And just a point of a question then, since the Lynn Curry from the Chamber of Commerce is the one who does that meeting, and she coordinated this and everything, and she's probably representing a function that's nearly defunct.
Right.
And
are you saying then that we take that over, period?
No. I'm saying that you create the committee. It's now an official committee of council. You would appoint the people that participated on a regular basis as the members of the committee. And, it would fall under the same, you'd have a liaison from council. Lynn would continue to chair the meetings.
Okay.
It would remain the same. It would just become an official committee of council.
Even though the Chamber of Commerce is to call it that functional at best.
But that really isn't a function of the Chamber.
But they have done it in the past that she represented the Chamber. And if that is indeed the case, should the Chamber be notified, and it's quite a question, be notified of the change and see if they're amenable to it?
Yeah, I would do that. Also, you definitely want them participating in this committee. So you don't want one member from, if the Chamber does become active again, you want a member from the Chamber.
The point I was coming to.
And Belen is a Chamber member, and she does run and has run that committee for a number of years. So if she's willing to continue, which she was when we talked about it earlier, if she was willing to continue in that position.
She does, thank you.
And she knows what's going on.
Yeah. So, and then, it would no way impact the Chamber's ability to do economic development.
Right. Okay. That's fine. I just thought it's a matter of courtesy.
It might even enhance their ability to do that sort of thing.
But it does allow that committee to bring back recommendations to the council, where there's no direct line of that happening other than just, the council members attending that meeting coming back and saying, I think we, to do this. But there's no recommendation from the committee.
And if there is something that comes up from the committee, and it'd be most likely a Chamber function, then Belen to take that back to the Chamber?
If it were a Chamber function, there would definitely be that communication between us and the Chamber to do that. But for example, wayfinding signage, you know, it's been on our agenda for over a year, waiting for the branding stuff, but there, that should be a recommendation from the Economic Development Committee to the full council to provide funding to support that issue. And so that's where the committees really are pertinent in the overall scheme of the city operation.
And then therefore, then if something comes up that pertains to the chamber, then that committee would refer it directly to the chamber, or would it come via the report of the council?
It would be a communication probably from the city manager back to the chamber if there was something there. Again, once they get active and everyone understands their roles, then, you know, we would always have those.
Okay.
Okay, so do we need a motion then?
A motion to create a council standing commission or committee.
Don't we have to take care of the library first?
This is creating a new committee, but you're right. In the order of things, you're correct.
I make a motion that we do form the economic development.
We're
doing the library first, okay. I agree.
Plus, somebody make a motion.
I make a motion that we appoint
Teresa
to Dory to the library. liaison to the library.
I second that.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations, Councilor White.
Glad to have
you. Your Honor, you would want to make the same motion for all the other.
Yes, for everybody.
Yeah. So we'll go back up to the park board. Somebody can.
I make a motion that we nominate Teresa DeWall for the park board.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That carries. Congratulations, Teresa. Economic Development.
I recommend Lenny for Economic Development, the liaison.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. Congratulations. And Dave, we got a traffic safety thing coming up here.
I make a motion that we appoint Cunningham to the traffic safety liaison.
Have a motion.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
So, Mr. Bauer, what else we need to do on this stuff?
A motion to create a economic development standing committee or council.
And then a library board, too?
No. No, the library board was created under our library,
okay.
Public library ordinance.
So we need a motion to create an economic development committee of the council.
I make a motion that we create a committee for the economic development.
I second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Okay, so we good here? We're good now for that?
We're good.
Okay, looking for approval of the council minutes from February 1st of 2021.
I make a motion that we approve the council minutes for February 1st, 2021.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the council minutes of February 1st. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name, address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Anyone wishing to speak? Thank you very much. Reports to boards, commissions, committees, and schools. Economic development is no longer Dave Cunningham. It is now Lenny Harris.
Last week's meeting, we discussed the urban development grant to Douglas County Co-op and how the payments were broke up with the system development fees basically granted in the grant. They're planning on groundbreaking April 1st, and that is still, after talking to the manager over here at the DC Co-op here in Winston, that is still the plan. The city has approximately $130,000 left in the development fund. I plus or minus that a little bit. I wasn't 100% sure. Mark was absent that day to really get the exact number. Cricket Wireless is planning on opening next to the Dollar Tree, between the Dollar Tree and the pharmacy. The RV park, as we know, is dead in the water due to floodplain issues. B&S Automotive, everybody discussed and looks great. It's a nice addition to the entrance from the west side. Loggers is expected to open April 1st, as long as building and construction still goes according to plan, which from the sound of it, it is moving forward quite smoothly. Wildlife Safari is looking forward to spring break. Their numbers were up. Branding is approved. If you want no idea what that means. Branding is approved. If you want to get a grant, you have to brand. I'm not sure what she's referring to. I believe she's referring to the facade grant, that if you are, we discussed facade grants and how that works, that you have to get a safari themed item. So I think that's what she's referring to from our discussion that day. Urban growth boundary will sunset in 3 to 4 years, and new boundaries will be looked at that time.
Hold on just a second. Mr. Bauer.
The Urban Renewal Agency will sunset.
Right, Urban Renewal.
Well, Urban Renewal. But she wrote growth, but yeah. Urban Renewal, yes. We discussed a drone tour from the safari into Winston, and we've discussed this a few times in economic development, trying to build the brand with the safari as well as local places to eat and drink in the community, showing that the drive is less than 5 minutes basically into downtown to bring people to eat and drink. And we obviously have more restaurants, cafe, things like that to showcase in Winston. And Valen's been pretty forward thinking in that, and I'd like to figure out a way that we could fund that, especially if we go ahead with the new website and such. Just showing the attributes of Winston, not just that we're the safari.
Well, those can be used, we can use the transit room tax dollars for that, can't we, Mr. Bauer?
Yes, as long as it's marketing promotion, we absolutely can.
Okay.
So we need to get a plan together
for that. Okay, what would be the first plan of action, having
Is that something that the branding committee can work on still, or is that kind of, we've done our job, we're moving forward to the next?
Yeah, the branding committee is a task force, so it's now done its job, and I would think that you would want to put branding under the economic development committee as one of their functions.
As a tourism development thing?
Tourism in there, yes. So we can write that into the ordinance.
Okay, that'd be great. And then the next meeting will be March 10th, 2021. That is all I have.
Thank you, sir. Department reports. Wastewater information is in your packet. Mr. Chief Sardi, have anything to offer?
I can give you a little bit of update. Good afternoon, Mayor, Council, community members on the phone. So just kind of give you an update of what we've been doing. Our plan is to have a traffic safety meeting, and it's looking like March 2nd is when we're going to have our first meeting of the year. We're going through the agenda now to make sure that I got everything caught up before the meeting. Our command staff, the PD, went through executive leadership training, which is the training we typically go to, me and a sergeant typically go to in Seaside, and it's a whole week long. What we're doing now is online. The online training is a little tiresome, but they're breaking it up to only Mondays from 8 to noon, so the three of us are doing that for the rest of the month. So it's all right. We've got some good speakers like Marcus Luttrell, the Lone Survivor guy, is going to be on there, so we're going to hear him. So they got some good candidates that are going to be speaking to us, and you get to do an answer question session in the morning, so that's kind of cool. I talked to Kevin Campbell, who's our state lobbyist for OACP. I had a pretty good conversation with him this morning before class. He's the chairman of the training that we're doing. And he asked me how things were going, and I told him that in Douglas County, the support of our citizens and our community has been outstanding. If it wasn't for that, it wouldn't be much. I really don't like seeing what's happening up north. I told him that I feel that the policies in Portland are cycling to the state and being dumped around the rest of the state, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to circumvent and get through this. We always will, we do, but they have 1,200 bills that are in committees right now to reform law enforcement.
1,200?
1,200, yeah. And I'm a little nervous. The governor's directive in her budget was one of her main focuses is to revamp law enforcement to, I guess, make it better. All these bills that I've been watching, watching quite a few of the committee meetings at the state level. It's really hard not to throw something through the screen, honestly. But in all fairness, they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to make things different, that's for sure. It's a different vibe for me on where they expect law enforcement to go and what we're supposed to be doing. It's like I told Kevin, there's always room for improvement in every profession, and I'm one to stand there, been here for 26 years, and there always is. But some of the angles and approaches that they're doing, from changing our uniforms to all having the same white shirt, to taking away, for instance, like criminal misdemeanor. We won't be able to arrest on a misdemeanor unless we witness it. So they're basically making it like a violation, like we would do on a traffic violation. That's going to cause huge problems with our business owners. We don't witness the crime. What are we going to do? You know, so there's a lot of what ifs. They're trying to change the laws. They're trying to change, for instance, to give you an example, is that they're trying to take away traffic violations for equipment violations. So in other words, for me to stop a vehicle, I could not stop it for a taillight or no lights or a flat tire or anything for an equipment violation. I have to find another reason to stop that court to stop it. What people don't realize is, you know, Timothy McVeigh, taillight. Ted Bundy, taillight. I mean, we get a lot of bad guys off the road on equipment violations. And I really have a problem with that, to the point of, I can go on a tangent, but I just want to give you kind of a little bit of a background on what I'm talking about. They're even talking as far as removing the scope of a stop. In other words, if I stop a car, say for instance on a taillight, I can't investigate any farther than that taillight. So I can't go into the drug issues, I can't go in, you know, if there's, they're trying to take that away from us.
What drug issues?
Well, you're right. I mean, that's changed, which is a whole other dynamic and a whole other issue.
Through the system.
Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of things in the fire right now that is very concerning to me as a law enforcement officer. And I expressed my points of view on to our lobbyist. He understands it. He's just trying to do defense right now, trying to give us the best deal for what we got going on. So I'm just concerned, and I know that the bottom line is whatever comes out of the state, our community and our support has always been there, but I can see that diminishing when we can't go out and support our citizens, or we can't go out and do what we do, and then who are they going to blame? You know, and so we got to be prepared for that. Anyway, so that's where we're at. That's all I got.
I got just three quick things. One,
yeah.
Kudos is in mind. Your police officers had a very, very busy week last week.
We had 107 people in work today. So.
And anyway, that's well done. And I was very impressed with Officer Parker, with the amount of calls that he had and then he resolved, et cetera.
Okay.
And that, you know, often enough, they don't get enough thank yous.
Yeah, I'll pass it along.
Okay.
To give you one more example before I leave, they're even trying to take it away when I said the scope of the stop. They're trying to make it so when an officer does a traffic stop, they typically run the driver, right,
mm-hmm.
for wants and warrants and driving status, right? Well, they want to minimize that to say that we have no reason to investigate their criminal history. We can investigate to see if they have a driver's license to be valid to drive on the road, but we have no business checking their criminal history. Well, what is that going to do? That's going to stop us from getting warrants. It's going to stop, you know, what if we get a murder suspect we're looking for? Yeah. We can't run them because we're not allowed to, and we let them go, and then he goes and kills somebody.
Right.
Who's going to be responsible then?
Right.
So there's a lot of weird stuff coming down the pike that's really concerning to me. And I think all the chiefs, for the most part, in the Southern Oregon area, and the sheriffs are trying to fight back the best we can, but also know that we got to do the right thing and try to bold with our community and try to do the best that we can with what we got.
So. You should offer her a ride along.
Well, a lot of these people attend to, I guess they think they know the job better than the guys that are working it.
So. Yeah, would you call it a brown home?
I don't know. It's a little crazy. But anyway, that's all I have.
The ride along, not all to.
Mr. Bauer.
Thank you, Your Honor. Members of council, I have no additions to my weekly report, but I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Just one. Has been any other contact with the county concerning the community center in relation to vaccines?
We have not had any more beyond. Councilor White created a list of seniors to talk to seniors to get on the phone tree process. And so beyond that, we've not received any additional requests for anything.
Might be an idea to give them a nudge.
They've already set it up the way they want, which is not, if you want to, not having a big community center.
Well, they don't want to do seniors that way.
Yeah.
They want to do seniors through clinics.
Well, or like Bi-Mart, I got a call tonight to go there.
Oh, you did? This local one?
Yes.
And did you make, I'm asking a question because we don't know. Did you have to call and make an appointment, or did they call you?
They called.
Out of the blue?
Yeah, and how, well, actually, they got my husband, who's a vet, and so he didn't need it. He said, well, can my wife come and have it done instead? And she said, yes, if she's a member of the Bi-Mart. Yes, I am, and so I'm scheduled Thursday.
That might be good. That's good information. But you're in that 80-year-old group, aren't you?
Oh, what a
God,
lovely
you know, Cunningham,
blow.
You just don't get it, do you? You just don't understand. Yeah. I'm just going to give you some advice. Stay out of the crosswalks.
Yeah, wow.
My goodness. Well, thank you for leading us into that, Mr. Bauer. Yeah, no old business. Looking for some new business. Resolution 21-984, the property surplus at the treatment plant. Mr. Bauer, would you please educate us?
Thank you, Your Honor, members of the council and members in the audience. Resolution number 21-984, resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the surplus of an old prohibitively replaceable standby generator at the wastewater treatment plant. And as Chris is not here, I will brief. Basically, it's currently running on 5 out of 6 cylinders, or it was when they took it out of operation. As you know, we purchased a new replacement generator and it is now on site and providing standby generation services to the facility. The problem with it was that it was cost prohibitive to repair the old generator. So that's why it was recommended to be surplus, and it will go to the I-5 auction for their March auction. And we don't have any idea what kind of value it might be.
Did you have any idea what the repair cost would be?
I don't know what it is right now.
At the time that was discussed, he gave a number, and it was out of control.
Oh, okay. Good. Otherwise, you give it to Public Works.
Actually, the police department needs it more than Public Works. Public Works has a brand new one.
You don't want that one here.
And believe me, it didn't generate through all of those circles.
Okay, so any comments from the audience on 21984? Looking for a motion to approve, please.
I make a motion we approve resolution 21-984.
I second that.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor of approving resolution 21-984? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. Resolution 21-985, renew lease agreement with Douglas County for Senior Center. Mr. Bauer, please.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of the council and members of the audience. Resolution number 21-985. Resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to enter into the first extension of a new lease agreement with Douglas County titled Lease Number 31745 for Senior Center space in the Winston Community Center. So essentially, the county runs our Meals on Wheels program. They actually man a small office space at the community center that they work out of. They also provide the daily meals for the seniors if you can ever get them back in the center. I think as I indicated before, there are only two facilities in the state that cannot go back into service under any circumstance or any risk level until the COVID risk is completely gone. It's senior centers and hookah bars. So,
and then hookah bars.
Not in the centers. So this does not expire until the end of June, but we're getting a jump on these as they come in from the county so we don't end up with a rush. That will conclude my report.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Any comments from the audience on resolution 21-985? Any comments from council? Looking for a motion, please.
I make a motion that we approve resolution 21-985.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Mr. Bauer, how do we proceed in this next?
This is a motion action by council. As you'll recall, at the joint meeting, you had requested that staff come back to you with a request to move forward with contacting property owners. And I think that Mariah's report speaks for itself. We will, upon approval by council, we will begin moving forward and speaking with property owners regarding their zoning, especially property owners that have large ag open space zoning.
So since can we discuss names at this point in time or not?
At this point, at this point, I would hold off names until we actually get to a point of maybe there's going to be an application.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, can bring her into it.
Tony, did you say something?
No.
Oops. Mariah, anything to add to your staff report?
Not this time.
Okay, so we need a motion to ask staff to move forward on contacting prospective property owners for a change in their status as from AO to a different zoning possibility. Need a motion.
And again, we would be addressing all of their zoning on their property. We would be providing them an open slate.
I make a motion that we accept ordinance 21-16.
No. That's not. We're not on the motion of the ordinance. We are on C, offering direction to the council without an ordinance. Direction from the council to staff to contact property owners.
Mm-hmm. I make a motion that they can contact the property owners.
A second now.
I have a motion and a second for staff to begin contacting property owners. Any more comments from council? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Okay, so now we're on to 21-692.
Sorry. And, if you might bear with us for a moment, here's the most current planning update.
Thanks.
You'll recall there were a couple of issues that came up.
Thank you, Cindy.
When we get to that point, Thomas will review the changes that were recommended.
What did you add to this? It's like 4 pounds heavier or something.
Probably didn't press that in the back.
I think it is in the front and back. Yeah, it's,
okay.
It's one side of this.
Okay. So it was one-sided?
Waste of paper.
No, it's easier to read.
Yeah.
Okay, so do we have any questions or comments on ordinance number 21-692?
Your Honor, if I may.
I'm sorry, Mr. Barr.
You will want to ask for the ordinance to be read by title only for a second reading.
Okay, sorry. So, Mr. Bauer, could you please read ordinance 21-692 for the second reading.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of the council and members of the audience. Ordinance number 21-692. An ordinance of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council adopting amendments to the City of Winston zoning ordinance, City of Winston subdivision ordinance, and Winston comprehensive plan. And Thomas will brief on the changes that were made since your last meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer.
Good evening, Council. Members of the Council, Mr. Mayor, members of the audience. The staff report that we have in the record carries, there were a few changes that we had to make prior to the second reading. And there were a few minor ones, but there were a couple ones that we want to call your attention to. Page number 17. The floodplain administrator may delegate authority to implement these provisions. So that area had some language that was potentially confusing, maybe ambiguous, concerning. So subsection 3, just below it, duties and responsibilities of the administrator. Duties of the city manager was crossed out. Instead, we have or his delegated floodplain administrator to make that more clear. So either one of that. So that was a kind of a bigger one. And then we had a paragraph in one of the policies in the comprehensive plan that we talked at length on. And we addressed that and kind of overhauled the language to essentially facilitate to just farm and forest land north of Looking Glass Road.
Which page,
so what
was that
page
on?
Are you on?
41. Sorry.
Thank you.
So page 41.
Oh, that's okay.
Policy number 2. So we're focusing on areas that, so the safari is inside the UGB. And then we have areas that are north of Looking Glass Road that are really kind of the aesthetics and the nature is agricultural or forest. Really a lot of grazing land. And the incline kind of goes up and down a little bit. It has the look of kind of the same as the Abbasella Winery just to the west of it. So it's essentially grazing land right now, even though it's inside the city limits. Just north of there, the UGB is, or the safari is in the UGB. This policy, the intent of this policy is to make sure that we're protecting those sorts of areas, even as the city grows, and to mitigate any language that would directly correlate to catering to one organization or another or anything of that nature. So hopefully the council is okay with that language. It suffices. But those were some of the more pressing areas that we addressed and changed and updated. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you. I'm curious as to whose benefit, if anyone's, is keeping wildlife safari in our urban growth boundary.
This has been an area, I mean, from a land use planning standpoint, the purpose of having an urban growth boundary, there's a major analysis that goes into expanding that. So for example, if you're going to expand that, you have to make a very robust case to the state that we need this because this is how we're going to grow in the next 20 years. This is our 20-year supply. This is the housing we need. This is the commercial, industrial, and residential zoning we need. It makes no justifiable difference from an analytical standpoint to have the safari in the UGB from a growth standpoint and the underlying intention of the urban growth boundary. I don't know the justification then, how it was done then. I'm not saying it was the wrong thing to do, but I can't find a major justification on why.
Mr. Bauer.
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor, members of council, members of the audience. And reflecting back on this since our meeting, there was a discussion going on about the time this was included in our in the comprehensive plan that was being developed. The question was whether or not Wildlife Safari was a viable entity over the long term. And if not, then it would be beneficial to have that property in our urban growth boundary for future growth. The question becomes one of, is it now at a point where it's a viable entity and there's no longer a potential for development of further growth of the community in that direction as a result of Wildlife Safari being in this location?
So there's no real advantage to either party to leave them there?
At this point in time, assuming that they are financially stable for the long term and nothing happens, that they get a disease that wipes out the park and they can't bring back the animals and make it work again, no.
So there's really no benefit to change it or leave it?
At this point in time, yeah, I don't think there's any reason to necessarily pull it out.
Okay. Well, my concern was, so when we had this discussion the other night, that basically Mariah said anything in green, and I'm paraphrasing,
right,
had to be filled with houses before we could expand into the available urban growth property. That's a pretty big area of green that's not going to have houses on it probably in our lifetime.
Right, and I mean essentially that gets back to the analytical discussion. And if the timelines are such that you don't believe anything could happen to it, again, I don't know at this point in time there's any real benefit to remove it from the comprehensive plan. We need that growth in the west area to happen, and then we could have discussions about removing it from the comprehensive plan if it doesn't look like it's going to go forward with, you know, if it looks like it's going to be there for, you know, eons to come. So, but I believe that's primarily why it was established in the urban growth boundary to begin with.
It can stay, as far as I'm concerned, as long as it's not going to hold up progress moving west.
That's part, again, with the analytical discussion, if we were to go back to the drawing board and figure out how and why we need to expand an urban growth boundary in a specific area, then the state would come back and say, you haven't used the area in the UGB that you have. A safari that we're not going to grow into. So that would be a reason. There is some like high density residential area that would be very advantageous for them to stay in, because if that got taken out of the UGB, if there's a swath, if we took it out here and brought some other area in over somewhere else, then that's an area that would be a clear measure 56 where we'd have to offer, because it's high density residential, it's very lucrative in nature to develop it.
Is that the yellow area?
That's the brown, the dark brown.
Oh, brown.
There, and there's some highway commercial up there that I mean, it's there. If they
isn't
want
the
use
brown,
it.
Isn't that
tribal
property?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all grazing land.
Yeah, I mean, right now the aesthetics would just bear out that it's just pretty much grazing land. This goes hand in hand and kind of in concert with the previous motion that you made as it relates to ag zoning. The ag zoning has like a 10 acre minimum, and it's unheard of to have any agricultural zoning designation inside of city limits or a UGB. It just really doesn't cater to the point of an incorporated area is you have a goal 14 urbanization exemption. You're able to grow in an urban type fashion. So ag zoning is just, I mean, it's not a concept that's typically used. I'm not saying go one way or the other, but if we were going to make an argument to try to expand or to swap, then the justification is harder when we have all that open area in the UGB that is not being used.
I'm saying, in addition to that, is that we have a lot of property to work with right now, a lot of steps to work through that will be probably several years down the road before we have to make a decision where we could say, okay, now let's take it out.
Okay. I mean, it can't happen tomorrow.
No.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Thomas. Any more questions for Thomas, guys?
I have one question.
Okay. Alan?
Yeah, I went through the changes that were made on the zoning comprehensive, or the zoning ordinance. I did not see anything about changing, amending the building height. Was that not part of it, or is that not necessary right now?
Those were not folded into these particular changes. I think that those are some changes that are being considered in upcoming changes.
If I may, it's even at the point of a preliminary discussion. Nothing's been decided on or is concrete.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Thomas Wright or Mr. Bauer? Okay, do we have any other comments on the legislative amendment? Yes.
Anyone want to look over it any longer, or is that going this time?
That's what we're here to discuss.
Okay.
Carry on.
No, the only thing that I just was going to take more time to look at more carefully. But that's just me. I don't know if anyone else has that.
Does anybody else want to need to take more time with this document?
I've read through most of it already.
I'm sorry, Lenny, I couldn't hear you.
I said I'd read through it most already prior to the changes.
Yeah, I had too, but I just didn't really look at it close enough. But that's my problem.
Well, not necessarily. Did you have some questions, Mr. Cunningham, on one of the sections you said the other day, number 7, I think?
Yeah, number 7, I believe it involved the, hold on just a second here, let me get my glasses on here, number 7, we discussed that on number 7 last week.
What page is that on, you have a clue?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Let's see.
What page is that?
Page 30. See,
30? 30? Okay.
No?
Well, see, the one that I was thinking about was one that was on double sided.
It's on 32.
32.
You're close.
Oh, that's impressive.
Okay, page 32. Mr. Cunningham.
Yes. It's on Article 7, Conditional Use Permit, and let's see here. Okay, that one I'm satisfied with now, but the other question I had, and I think Mark was working on that, was a legal determination concerning the floodplains in existing mobile home parks.
RV parks?
RV parks, yes, because we have, I believe, 3 that's in the portions of it is in the floodplain, and there may be one that's in the floodplain. And so the question on that was, a legal question was, what do we do with those? Because if we do not make the owners aware of that there's potential liability against the city, or would the liability be directed towards the campground owners? And
unfortunately, we don't have an answer to that question, but the changes that have been made to that section of the code only strengthen the argument or clarifies the issue of the 180 days. So it would not change your or impact the changes that have been made.
Okay.
we know we're on solid ground with these changes. They come down from the state, and it comes down from the NFIP standards. So it's just kind of boilerplate 180 in the floodplain.
Okay.
And we had that discussion, and I went.
Yeah, we did, because if it's coming from Fed, you know, FEMA, that's Fed. And as far as I know, Fed law always trumps state law.
Yeah, this this model ordinance, it comes from, it was constructed by the Department of Land and Conservation Development at the state level, and
okay.
FEMA bought off on it as a model ordinance for.
Okay, there's a difference there. Then the question was about moving them, if they have to be moved, if be ready to move in a floodplain.
The only question in regards to the concern that you raised on it is enforcement of the 180 day rule. So that does not impact the language that's in here.
Okay.
We'll get that legal clarification.
Okay.
Councilor White, did you have any other questions?
No.
You sure?
Yep. No more.
Okay. I think I'm stalling here because Lenny had to leave, so I should be back in a minute. Who won the Super Bowl pool?
So, Your Honor, if I may, your action would be either to move to a third reading, or it would be to approve on second reading, which then would take it would not go into effect for 30 days, which would allow staff the time to prepare the final exhibit, as well as the final ordinance, which would be, mean adding the signature line to the ordinance.
I'm of the opinion, I know at least one of the councilors has not is not comfortable with the time that's been provided to go through this, so I think we're going to put this off to a third reading, if you guys don't mind. We have to make a motion to do that, Mr. Brown?
Yes,
so I need to have someone make a motion, please.
I make a motion that we delay this for a third reading.
I second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed, same sign? Motion carries. Thank you very much. By the way, you guys did an awesome job on this. This is, I can't imagine.
Lots of work.
Non-agenda items from council. Anybody have anything to offer tonight? Mr. Bauer, any upcoming agenda items to discuss?
We do. We still have the county flow ordinance out there. That will be back at your next meeting. We also have an agreement coming back with one of the subcontractors with Avista, who wants to come into our system and monitor it, basically TV it, to look for natural gas pipe insertions into our sewer system that could happen either in the side sewer laterals or in the main trunks of the city. So, in exchange for us allowing them access to the system, they'll be providing us the information that they find in their survey, and including other issues that they might observe, whether it be I&I related inflow and infiltration or other, so damaged pipes, that type of thing. So. I've got the first draft of the agreement at the attorney's office right now to get legal review on it, and then we'll sit down and talk with them further about a couple of our concerns that we have with it, and probably adding some more language so that if we do move forward with the agreement, that we get helpful information from the videos, such as manhole number, number of feet into the line that they whatever they find, so that we have some benefit from it. So Right now, that doesn't exist in the agreement, but it will be added. We'll be going through some kind of negotiation with them to finalize it.
And anytime they have to cut the street, they're going to pay for that, right?
Yes, they will. And typically, they wouldn't have to cut the street unless they get a camera and a tractor stuck in our line, which does happen. And the only way they can get it removed is by opening up the sewer line and removing it. So. Otherwise, they should not be damaging our street systems.
Good.
We will be covered.
That's the idea of the video.
That's the idea
right?
of the
yeah.
video, right.
Okay, anything else? Go to the order. Check copies are in our packets. Claims in excess of $500. Announcements?
Mayor, can I make a statement?
Well, I don't know. You missed your time.
I know. I just want to commend whoever made the listening much easier, because I can hear everything very well right now, much easier than last time. So did you change something so that it was much more, I can hear everybody talking much easier?
Well, we all took our masks off.
Okay, there you go.
You better change it back.
The mics are up louder. I have no feedback, so that might be it.
Good. Thank you for mentioning that, Alan.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay, so another announcement. Next council meeting is the March 1st. Okay. Executive session, Mr. Bauer?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you, man. Good night.
Good night,
Jeff. Good night, David.
You remember that, huh?
Uh-huh. I know. You're a better woman than I am.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned at 7:57 p.m.
Thank you.